So if you weren't with us last week, you can go out to the YouTube and you can look at part one. But tonight we're going to talk about it as time to overcome self, which is what worship was all about. This is part two. We started last week with Matthew chapter 10, verse 38 in the Amplified, with Jesus talking in it, and he said, "And he who does not take up his cross, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come and follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example in living and, if need be, suffering or perhaps dying because of faith in me, is not worthy of me." Jesus sets a pretty high standard, and he expects all of us to make it. Father never gives us a standard we cannot achieve. The choice is ours. We said last week that the religion of self is the largest religion in the world. And we saw two verses from Matthew. Jesus set the bar for all of his disciples, including you and me, and there is no place for self when we walk with Jesus. We said last week, wokeism cannot exist where self is not worshipped. If you want to see wokeism done away with, stop worshiping self. It is time for the body of Christ to overcome self. We can't expect the world to do it if you and I don't. We were looking at the Greek words Holy Spirit had Paul use while he was writing to the young apostle Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. We ended by summarizing last week where we finished in verse 2, what will happen in the last days. We said in summary of last week, people will be self-lovers, spend all their cash on themselves, stretch the truth to fill their need, be intellectually snooty, and give, and the speech of society will no longer be respectful. It will be crude, rude, and vulgar. So we're going to pick up with where Paul was there in 2 Timothy 3, verse 2. The next thing the Holy Spirit tells us is that people are going to be disobedient to parents. All the parents are going to say, "Yeah, yeah, I can relate to that." Holy Spirit had Paul use the Greek word epiphes, which means unpersuadable or uncontrollable. This is what disobedience to parents is. It's unpersuadable or uncontrollable. There will be a period of time in the last days when children will no longer be controllable. The Greek word Holy Spirit used here literally says children will be uncontrollable. We're getting a foretaste of that in this generation. Next, we find Holy Spirit linking 18 things which are now undone. So these are all going to come together in the end times. The first thing here that is being undone is children becoming uncontrollable. So that's number one of the 18. Or parents no longer being the authority and children having authority over themselves. Do you see that in our culture today? It's becoming rampant until the body of Christ stands up and says, no more. To this undoing, Holy Spirit adds unthankful. It's the plural Greek word ekaristos, meaning without grace, unthankful or ungrateful. We live in an ungrateful culture. This is a picture of a people who were at one time thankful, but now they feel entitled. Have you heard that word before? They have lost the feeling of thankfulness, and now they live by the feeling of being entitled. It's all about me, mine, and mine. Next, the Holy Spirit adds unholy. The Greek word is anonosios. It means having no reference for things which are sacred. Everything is off the table. You can talk about anything. Nothing is sacred anymore. This word implies a total respect, lack of respect or wickedness. All of these Greek words are in the plural, meaning this will be a very wide population of people living like this. We see this now where nothing is treated as sacred or to be revered. As a matter of fact, in our public schools, the kids are taught there is no God, there is no standard, there is no absolute. Do whatever makes you feel good. And if you wonder when that started, it started in the 1950s and 60s. And we gave the schools to the enemy, and now he's capturing the generations. But God is going to reverse that. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, Holy Spirit reveals the next thing. He says people will be without natural affection, using the Greek word astrogos. This word says there will be an undoing of the natural love between parents and children, and an undoing of the natural love between a husband and a wife. In other words, they're saying there's going to be a total loss of family love in the last days. And this is what our culture is driving to through the media, the arts and entertainment, and the government, and the education. Those four mountains are driving to destroying the basic building block God established for every culture, and that's family. Then Holy Spirit says these people will become truce breakers. The Greek word used here is espandos, means to break a covenant or treaty, or truce breaker. And this word speaks of widespread divorce. When I was growing up in the 1950s, divorce was a very seldom spoken alternative. Now over half the marriages supposedly in the body of Christ have been divorced. In the world, it's about the same. As a matter of fact, now the world says don't even get married. Summarizing what the Holy Spirit has set up to here, we see just before the end of the age, a worldview of mankind is people are going to be self-absorbed, lovers of their own selves, lovers of creature comforts, who fit the truth to be whatever they need it to be. They will be intellectually snooty, and from their high position of snootiness, they will become blasphemous and vulgar in speech. Children will no longer be in control or persuasion of their parents. People will no longer be thankful, but will operate from an entitlement mentality. There will be loss of love for everything sacred, and families will begin to disintegrate on a scale which has never existed in human history. And widespread divorce will cause the disintegration of marriage. Folks, divorce should never be the first option for settling disputes. It is only in extreme cases where the Bible allows it. And if you go back to the first mention of divorce, it was because of the hardened hearts of the people that the Lord allowed Moses. Don't harden your heart. So the Holy Spirit says next, people will be false accusers. The Greek word used here is diablos. Does that sound familiar to some of you? With this word, Paul interrupts his own pattern of words starting with alpha or a, which means to undo. And now he uses a plural word which many of us recognize as devils, diablos. This may mean there are devils in this mix of accusations. Paul is saying there will be widespread operation of devils in the last day, which is the cause of all of these things we talked about last week and tonight. But you have authority over every one of them. That's what Jesus said. I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Nothing As soon as you discern, and that's why we told you last fall at the start of this year, discernment and discerning of spirits is a key gift you need to be asking the Holy Spirit for. As soon as you discern something unholy, unclean, perverse, whatever it is, whatever it smells like, tastes like, looks like, feels like, or sounds like, if it's not God, tell it to go. You've got all authority. As soon as it enters into your sphere of influence, Jesus said, I have given you all authority. Don't run to the pastor. Don't run to the elders. You take authority. And if you can't get it by yourself, then get some deliverance. Come to the elders and the pastors and brothers and sisters in the body and get rid of that thing. In yourself, in your homes, in your businesses, in our schools. The activity of the demonic has increased greatly in the last decade. But the activity of the Holy Spirit through the sons and daughters of the Most High God has increased even more. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. After this, Holy Spirit leads Paul to say, people will be incontinent, returning to words beginning with alpha, meaning to undo. The plural word here is ekrates. It describes all systems without power and out of control. Government out of control, the economy out of control, everything out of control. It describes systems that will run amok. Just look at our election process. Just look at the halls of Congress and the halls of government in Albany. They've run amok. Just look at our education system. You know what? You have the answers. Father put the answers in the bride of Christ. He told us that back in the book of Daniel. You have the answers. He told us that back in the book of Kings when Elisha and the school of the prophets were just hanging out. And the government officials came to them and said, we need you to fix our water. It's undrinkable. That's a problem, isn't it? Can't live without water. But the Lord put the answer in the people. Then Holy Spirit says, people will be fierce, which comes from the Greek word anaimeros, meaning savage or fierce. This word describes uncultured people or people who are given to violence and are given to savagery. Just look at what's coming out of the arts and entertainment mountain. In the first century, anaimeros described the culture. And anaimeros described the brutality which took place in places like the Colosseum, where people were murdered and blood was shed for entertainment. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. And we've come back to where we were as the body of Christ in the first century. In 2 Timothy 3, Holy Spirit was prophesying about the days before the end of the age, saying violence will become widespread and very popular. It used to be you couldn't watch an R-rated movie because it was pornographic. Now it's just total annihilation of the sacredness of the human body. Shedding of blood for entertainment. Do you know how sacred the human body is? You were made in the image and likeness of Father, Spirit, and Son. And Jesus took a body so that he could redeem yours and make the place for healing. We're going to see great signs and wonders. We're already seeing them, but they're going to increase because all of you are going to start doing them. Then Holy Spirit tells us people will be despisers of those who are good. The word here is ephilagathos, which means hostile to virtue. We see that in our cities today. We see that in our schools. We see that in our government. We see that in the media, where people are hostile to anything which has virtue. They don't want to hear. You know why they don't want to hear? Because the truth will set them free. It means these people will no longer be lovers of those who are good. Aphilagathos actually describes an imaginary place where there are no laws for good people. A place where law primarily defends the bad. In Paul's time, this was considered to be a fable. But Holy Spirit prophesied and said in the last days it would become a reality. New York State is one of those places, folks. If you don't follow what's going on in Albany, and you all should, the laws let criminals go free. But if you speak out for your children, you get arrested. There is no love for anything with virtue. And there is no respect or law against evil. Then in 2 Timothy 3, verse 4, the list continues with traitors. The word there is prates. It means to sell a friend or to betray a friend. This speaks of relationships no longer being permanent. People will only be committed to each other as long as this relationship is mutually beneficial. Otherwise, they sell out their friendships. Hey, don't get too hard on Judas. Because it happens too much where self is worshipped. Then Holy Spirit says people will be heady. The Greek word here is propates, meaning reckless. To make fast decisions, to take action without thinking. Just look at our government. Do you know that in the first peoples of this land, they used to look at if I cut down that tree or if I shoot that animal, what will happen for the next five generations? When I studied the Japanese business system, which is shifting and becoming more worldly now, but where it was 30 years ago, when they made a decision about their war chest, which was billions of dollars to invest, they asked, what will be the impact of this decision we make with this capital for 700 years? And they would continuously look at what would be possible and what could happen to counter the investments. But right now, our governments make snap decisions. They don't humble themselves. They don't seek the Lord. They don't pray. And they make decisions that impact all of us to take away the liberty of expressing Father's love to those around us. After Hetty, Holy Spirit led Paul to say people will be high-minded. The Greek word here is tufuo. It means to be enveloped with smoke, to inflate with self-conceit, or to be high-minded. Now, we get our word typhoon from tufuo. So Holy Spirit is encouraging us here. Have you ever been in a typhoon? It comes in real quick and forceful, and it goes out real quick. So these things are going to happen quickly. They're happening quickly now. We can change the course. Holy Spirit inserts a word here to let us know that all of this may sound like bad news. I think it is. But like a typhoon, all of these things and people are going to blow in and they're going to blow out. I believe that we're already in the presence of presence move of God, which is impacting generations, and we're seeing young people under 30s and teens, high schoolers and college students doing signs, wonders, and miracles. We're seeing little kids, 7 and 8 years old, prophesying with accuracy the word of the Lord in their services. Why? We used to do Kids in Christ so we could train them how to hear so they could go out and speak where they were. We had one student in Kids for Christ who got a word for their bus driver. Well, that's not church. They got a word for their teacher. Fortunately, it was an encouraging word. Father wants to use all of us. He's not a respecter of persons or of generations. Then Holy Spirit tells us people will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. The Greek word here is philidonos. It comes from two Greek words meaning to love hedonism. You know what hedonism is? Some of you know what hedonism is. Hedonism is, says the pursuit of happiness and pleasure is the highest goal in life. Eat, drink, and be merry. Don't worry about anybody else, just you have a good time. Hedonism teaches not accomplishing something for someone else is good. Not contributing to humanity is good. But living for the weekend, that's real good. Living for my own pleasure, that's real good. This is what Holy Spirit told Paul was about to take place with the Greek word he used. The Bible says in the last day, people will be lovers of pleasures. That's not all he said. He said they will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's idolatry. It's where we started last week. The Greek word here is philotheos. It means one who is fond of or loves God. People are going to love pleasure more than they love being obedient to their creator, redeemer, and sanctifier. Holy Spirit does not say people will be lovers of pleasure and not lovers of God, which is the common Christian misconception. Well, I love God. I just don't have any time for him. He says people will love pleasure more than they love God, the ultimate idolatry. If you don't think so, read Zechariah chapter 9, verse 13. And it says the end time battle is going to be between the sons of Greece, humanism, and the sons of Israel, the sons of God, the father heart of God. The mind versus the father heart of God. And only a heart truly surrendered, I loved worship tonight. Only a heart truly surrendered is going to be able to overcome what the enemy is going to try and dump on the body of Christ in the world in the days to come. Here is where the ecclesia, you and I, have to be careful, because people claim to love God, but their actions reveal their heart. Consider, in defiance of Scripture, they do not even regularly attend the assembled congregation. That's what the New Testament exhorts us to do. Do not forsake the assembly or the gathering of the saints. They do not honor God with their tithes, their offerings, but they have plenty to spend on their own hedonism and their own pleasures. You know, less than 2% of the body of Christ in North America honors God with tithes and offerings. Fortunately, this house is an exception to that statistic. Jesus will not be mocked. He's going to play a tape of my life. We sang a song tonight, and I almost gave a prophetic word, but I didn't have a release to. But Jesus said, I will be held accountable, and so will you, for every idle word I've spoken. You will go before the judgment seat of Christ if you are truly redeemed by the blood and living for the Lamb. Or you will go before the great white throne judgment and receive condemnation and go to hell. But when we're standing before the judgment seat of Christ to get the rewards which will be our eternal crowns to cast at his feet, he's going to play back that DVD on my life. I've been doing a lot of repenting in the last decade for my days as a rock and roll DJ. When I released words and sounds in the night over the valleys of New York, I'm calling them back and I'm putting under the blood of the Lamb so the enemy can't use them against you or against me. If Father said it, if Father put it in his word, he meant it. He expects us to do what he said. Holy Spirit gives us this list to prepare us to be salt and light in a dark and decaying world. I loved hearing testimonies from people this week of how the Lord used them in bizarre situations where they were being put out and they were savory because they honored him with their responses in public meetings. As end time ministers of the gospel of the kingdom, you and I look at this list and we should know people will be lovers of themselves. This is the harvest field we have. Someone said, do you do a lot of evangelism? I said, it depends how you define evangelism. This is when I was an international manager. I said, most of my evangelism is letting people know the truth beyond salvation. Letting them know who they are now as a son or a daughter of the Most High God in Christ Jesus, and they should be doing these signs, wonders, and miracles. In other words, giving them the full revelation of what the Scripture says. That's the role of a teacher, of an apostle, of a prophet. It is our responsibility to teach people to be lovers of others and to be servants. I started a program when we lived in Tennessee. It was brought up here and sent around the world to teach people how to be servant leaders. You know where the role model for that is? His name is Jesus. All through the Old Testament and the New Testament are solid biblical principles that work when people do them. You know, when an unbeliever does the word of God, it still works. Jesus is and always will be our role model. If people tend to be covetous, I'm going through the list, then it is our responsibility to teach them to be givers. If people tend to live without moral absolutes, then it is your and my responsibility to teach moral absolutes, whether they are popular or not. I was not a very popular person. Probably still am not. I don't care. Jesus loves me. My wife loves me. My kids love me. My grandkids love me. And some of you love me. If we do what Father asks us to do in his word, it doesn't matter what the world thinks about us. It only matters what he thinks about us. We sang about that tonight. If people tend to be intellectually snooty, I know a lot of them, then it is our responsibility to teach people how to be humble. Remember we said this year Micah 3:16 was going to be a key passage. He has shown you, or man or woman, what is good and what the Lord requires of you to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. If society at large becomes vulgar in their speech, it is our responsibility to teach people how to speak with grace, seasoned words. I would be in meetings. You can pick any politician you want in their language. That was the language in meetings. But when I was in the meeting and people who knew me, whether they were authorities over me or under me or my peers, they would turn and say, sorry. And later I would just say, Lord, capture their heart. Because they knew I had a standard that I protect, and I would have a one-on-one private conversation with them. I'm responsible for these things. They are gateways to my soul, as are my eyes, as are every one of your five senses. And I would say, when you're around me, please use educated words. These were all educated people. We must teach our children to be obedient. We must teach people to be thankful. I love what our kids started doing with their grandkids when they could speak at the dinner table, and they still do it today. Every dinner, one thing you're thankful today, and it can't be this food or your dog. In other words, think of something the Lord did for you today to express thanks for. It changes the atmosphere when we will express thanks. We must teach people to be grateful. We must teach people to be holy, which means to be set apart. I can run with the crowd that's running, or I can say, no thanks, I don't want to go there. That is a hard choice for a teenager to make. It is a hard choice for a college student to make. It's a hard choice for you to make, unless you love the one who created you more than you love running with the world. We must teach people to work on family relationships. We must teach people to work not to have divorce as their only option. If you go into a marriage with a prenup that says this is what's going to happen, you've already given up before you started. You must be a people who understand covenant, because our Father is the author of covenant, and he cut a covenant called the cross, his Son, for you. And so he expects us to be an understander of and a keeper of covenant. That means I got to avoid situations which may make compromise easier or may make slander easier against my covenant with Casey and my covenant with my son and his children and their children yet to be born and our daughter and their generations. Covenant breaking goes across generations, and only you can break it from going forward. We've had to battle all of these things in our lives. We must teach people the opposite of these things so they can be salt and light in Father's hands. Why would you want to be that? Proverbs 24:11 in the New American Standard says, deliver those who are being taken away to death and those who are staggering to the slaughter, or hold them back. I usually use this verse about abortion, but it's about everything that's counter to God. This is the responsibility of every believer to be salt and light in Father's hands so we can keep people from falling off the precipice of evil and being overcome with immorality. Some of you may be wondering if it is ever going to get any better. According to Paul in 2 Timothy 3:13 in the King James Version, the answer is no. Now we'll start moving to some good news. It says in that verse, but evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, which means it's going to get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So Paul says this is going to keep going until they run into you. The salt of the Lord, the light of the Lord, and the glory of the Lord in you. Is Christ in you? He's the hope of glory, and he's the one who baptizes you every day in the Holy Spirit and fire. You should be baptized every day. Don't give in. We sang about overcoming the religious spirit tonight. Don't give in to the religious philosophy. Oh, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. The Greek is be filled and keep on being filled, if it's literally translated into English. We are not talking about the ecclesia now, not the bride of Christ, the remnant bride of Christ, God's legislative force on earth isn't going to be into all of these things, because greater is he who is in you than. We are talking about the society which is the world around us. Holy Spirit told Paul the answer to give Timothy and all of us is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. I'm going to read from the King James. But you continue in these things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. In verse 15, Holy Spirit uses the word "hyrios," meaning sacred or holy, and the word "grandma." Not grandma, but grandma. Which means a writing or scriptures for Holy Scripture. So he's telling us we're going to have sacred scribbles. Some of you know I like Hebrew. And Hebrew looks like a bunch of scribbles to most of us. But Jesus said not even one jot or tittle or one stroke of his word would ever be done away with. That's how serious Father is about his word. Paul is saying that every mark, every comma in the word of God is holy. Paul says, in fact, they are so holy, they are innately able to make you wise unto salvation and deliverance was only found in Christ Jesus. This means scriptures are our deliverance from all of these things I talked about last week and tonight. All of these things are going to happen, but you and I have the answer in the Word of God. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus, God, is the Word. He's the living Word. That's why mine's on mute. I don't want a pizza, thank you very much. Hey, you know your phone is listening to you all the time. It was in my pocket one night. Casey and I were talking to someone, and my phone said, I can do that if you turn me on. They are listening. And now they won't even let you take the battery out of them. It used to be you could take the battery out and that no one could track you. Not anymore. But you've got the answer, and it's found in the scriptures. Amen. Jesus didn't have a cell phone, by the way. He talked to Father, and he heard Holy Spirit. This means we need to find out what Paul was saying to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16. I'm going to read from the King James again. This will be familiar to those of you who have taken foundations class. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. By inspiration of God is the Greek word theopneustos. It comes from two Greek words, theos, which means God, supreme deity, and pheno, which has three definitions. If you're taking notes, I'll repeat them once. Three definitions. All three apply to this verse here in Timothy. The first definition of pheno, P-E-N-O with a slash over the O, is creative power used in the Old Testament. Creative power used in the Old Testament. When the Greek Old Testament talks about the creative power of God, it is the word pheno. The second definition of pheno is fragrance or perfume. Fragrance or perfume. And the third definition, you really need a word picture to get it. When a flautist would raise the flute to his lips and breathe air into the flute and move his fingers, the moving of the air produced music. The moving of the pheno produces music. The Greek word for God breathed tells us when Scripture is at work in your life, it does not matter what is happening in society around you. Don't get into the old woe is me that comes from your enemy. It does not matter if everything is coming unfolded or undone. As long as Scripture is working in your life, it releases creative power in your life. It does not If you do not like the smell in your life or in your home, God's word will release fragrance of or the perfume of heaven into your life. I know people who play the word of God over their house 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's always playing. We have experienced the prophetic word we received in 1986 that said people are going to walk into our house and say, your house is so peaceful. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit, by the way, because we invite His presence, Holy Spirit, Father and Jesus, into the house. If you will receive the Word of God in your life and in your home and your business, the smell you do not like will change. It can't exist when you honor the Word of God. If you do not like the atmosphere in your home, God breathes scripture will release the music of heaven into your life. If you're on the worship team, you should be speaking the scripture and receiving the song of the Lord everywhere you go. Thank you for releasing the song of the Lord tonight from the platform. But that shouldn't be a Saturday night, Sunday morning, or maybe Wednesday night thing. It should be everywhere we go, singing His word back to Him. When Paul tells us Scripture is given by inspiration of God, he is actually telling us it will bring God's creative power, His new fragrance, and His new music into our lives, no matter what is happening in the world around us. People joke about the duck floating on the pond and how serene it looks, and underneath he's literally doing this. That's not God. When we speak the scriptures, live in the scriptures, and have the scripture in us, we will have His peace, which passes all understanding. He will take us. We won't have to paddle. God's word will bring these things into your life. This is why Holy Spirit said through Paul in 2 Timothy 3:14, continue, continue, continue. Continue in these things you have learned and have been assured of. Continuing in verse 16, we read, the word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. And the word correction comes from the specific Greek word describing a man who has been knocked flat by the events of life. The word is epinorthosis, which means to straighten up again, rectification, reformation, which is what we should be working for, or correction. This man was lying flat on his back. Epinorthosis means and take an individual and put them back upright again and get them on their feet. So if you've been knocked flat by what has been going on in the world around you, by taking the word of God into your life, it has the ability to pick you up and put you back on your feet again. Let me give you an example before we move on with Paul and what he tells Timothy. I asked Jesus to be my Savior in February of 1963. Yes, if you do the math, that means I've been saved for 61 years. And a few years later, I pursued the ways and success of the world and walked away from God. 45 years ago, next month, on the first day of spring, when our first son, Christopher, died at the age of 9 days, my worldly success was rocked and devastated, and so was Casey's. A few months before Christopher was born, we had just started attending church again. But it was part of the game of life for this professional. The people in our denominational church loved us back to the Lord. And I bought my first Bible. This highly educated scientist was foolish enough to believe the Word of God would do what he said in his Word. So I read out loud to myself, and I still do today. Because I read, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so it goes into my spirit and soul being, whether I understand it with my thinker or not. And Holy Spirit can use it whenever he needs me to use it. Unbeknownst to me, as I read day by day and month by month, Holy Spirit was doing his work of epanorthosis in me. He was setting me back up on my feet to that commitment I made as an 11-year-old. And now it wasn't about salvation. It was about living for him as Lord of everything in my life. So now back to 2 Timothy 3, verse 17. This is where Paul tells us we may be perfect or complete and thoroughly equipped or furnished for all good works. Thoroughly furnished is a very specific Greek word, and it only has one meaning and one possible interpretation. Don't you love when Holy Spirit sets you up like that? This word is used to describe a boat. There were all kinds of boats mentioned in Scripture. There were simple boats without much equipment. Without much equipment, the boat would not take you very far from shore. I don't know if I'd want to go very far from shore in a boat without equipment. However, you could take that same boat and you could thoroughly furnish it. You could give it a sail. You could give it oars and other equipment which would allow you to make a larger trip. You could transform the simple boat with so much equipment, you could make it capable of long-distance sailing. In fact, you could take the simple boat and thoroughly furnish it to survive the worst storms. Think of the ark. And make it all the way to the other side. The Greek word Paul used here is exardesos. And it means we are all simple believers. But depending on what you do with the word of God determines whether I will be a simple believer all my life or I will become a mature believer. We can be simple believers who do not have faith or equipment to make it very far. However, if we take Holy Scriptures into our life, God's breath, His Scriptures will outfit us. They will give us a sail. They will give us an oar, a set of oars. The Scriptures will give us the equipment we need to make it over every wave we encounter in life, to make it through every storm that confronts us. And we will become long-distance sailors and make it to the other side. Paul tells us elsewhere, it's how you finish the race that counts. Then in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, in the King James, Paul says to Timothy and to us, I charge you therefore, in light of the meat of God, the word of God in these times, preach the word. He's talking to all of us. Not to a pastor, not to a prophet, not to an apostle, not to a teacher, not to an evangelist. He's talking to whosoever. Do not substitute the word of God with motivational preaching. Do not substitute the word of God with psychological counseling. Preach the word of God. It's the only thing that will save you or those you're talking to. Paul says we are to be instant in season and out of season. The word instant is a Greek word meaning to stand upon, to be present, and to stay at your post. It is a military term meaning preaching the word of God is the highest form of spiritual warfare which takes place. Unfortunately, in most congregations in the United States and the Western world, the word of God is not preached because I might offend somebody. I don't care. Jesus cares. He cares how you and I use the sword he's given us. And if we don't equip you to use the sword in the world, you are not in the right place. And if you're listening online, find a place that will preach the word of God to you so you can be set free and you can be used of the Father to set others free. Preaching the word of God is the highest form of spiritual warfare. Oh, by the way, where did I get this message? I listened to Casey's message. When God's word is being preached, Holy Spirit is working. He's waging war with his soul, is his sword in the hearts and souls of men, women, and children. The word of God is the most powerful thing God has given us. His name is Jesus, living word of God. If the word of God is not strongly declared, there is nothing for Holy Spirit to confirm in a local church. He can't say yes and amen to a good story about what's happening downtown. He can't say yes and amen to nice little examples to make you feel comfortable. As a matter of fact, he won't use them because of the frog in the warm water. That's where we are in time, folks. The enemy has the body of Christ thinking it's comfortable. And Father never intended for us to be comfortable. He intended for us to be vessels he can pour his fire and his glory through. Only the declaration of God, the proclamation of his word, will equip the body of Christ to overcome in the end time darkness. Only the word of God can set you free from bondage to the religion of self. It is time to overcome self. Stand to your feet. I want to finish with where we started last week, reading the words of Jesus in the Amplified Version of Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to follow me as my disciple, he must deny himself, set aside selfish interests, and take up his cross, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come and follow me. Believing in me, conforming to my example in living, and if need be, suffering or perhaps dying because of faith in me." Amen. Are you willing to make that commitment to Father, to honor his word? Father, you heard the yes of my brothers and sisters. You see their heart. Holy Spirit, I ask you to satiate their hearts with your presence. Father, I ask you to show up in their face so the light of your love is radiant upon them and they walk in the shalom of your presence. Lord Jesus, I ask you to bring them through the veil of your flesh into the secret place of intimacy with you, Father and Holy Spirit. I ask you to equip them with your word. If they only know Jesus wept, Lord, show them how to use it as a sword to bring down the enemy. And the more they know your word, Father, I ask you to honor your word because it always returns to you victorious when they speak it. Lord, I say, take them to the place of fulfilling your redemptive purpose and call on their lives. So everything they do brings honor and glory to you, and the glory of your presence touches those around them. Father, I send them this week to be vessels overflowing with your word in Jesus' name. I love you all. Have a blessed week.